Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Guide us, O Heavenly Father, in this time of year as we prepare to celebrate your birth. Guide our hearts, open our hearts to your grace and truth. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and write your word deep within us. Speak in this time, we ask, in the matchless name of the one who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The smell drifted up the stairway from the kitchen all the way to the third floor where I was hard at work on this sermon. And as I was praying, I was asking God for a fresh illustration for the readings on this third Sunday of Advent. What would God give me to say to you this morning? The readings for the third Sunday of Advent are always a little more hopeful and expectant. Traditionally, we light the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath because this Sunday is meant to be an easing in the penitential preparations for the coming of Christ. The readings have more joyful anticipation in them. And I was praying, "Oh God, how would you have me start the sermon? How would you have me connect a real-life experience with the Advent theme of hope and expectation of things about to come? Something really good is coming, but it's not here yet, though there are indications that this wonderful thing will soon arrive. How can I convey your coming, O Lord?" I prayed. And as I prayed, I kept smelling this aroma wafting up from the kitchen. It was the aroma of Christmas cookies baking in the oven. And physiological changes were going on in my body. I started salivating. And the neurons in the pleasure centers of my brain were firing with memories of eating delicious, warm, freshly baked cookies. The smell was so rich, chocolatey, and sweet. It had been some time since I'd eaten, so I was also hungry. And the more I smelled those cookies, the more I wanted them. But wait, no, I had to focus on finding that illustration about something good to look forward to that isn't quite here yet. Oh, but those cookies smelled so good. So I went downstairs, and the cookies weren't ready yet. They'd not been frosted. They were too warm to get out of the pan, but they smelled so good. But wait, I thought, the cookies are distracting me from writing the sermon. And so back upstairs I went. I sat at my computer, and then, of course, it hit me. Whether or not this is a word from the Lord, I do not know, but it came to me that Advent is like baking Christmas cookies. You have the indication that something really good is coming. You have the signs and the smells, the sights in the kitchen, mixing bowls, sugar on the counter, eggs at the ready, pile of chocolate chips in a bowl, the oven is on, the smell is really good. These are all signs that something really wonderful is coming, but it isn't here yet. They aren't ready yet. Advent is like Christmas cookies baking. The prophet Zephaniah is offering us a word from the Lord that something really good is coming. God himself is coming. He will come and take away the judgment against the people. He will rejoice in his people and restore their fortunes. This is going to be a joyful time when the cost of sin of the people will be paid and they will know the love and forgiveness of God, even though they have turned away from him, the one who gave them life and breath. So amazing will this coming of God be that people, even now, should break into joyous singing. They should exult with all their heart and shout for joy. Zephaniah, in chapters 1, 2, and the first half of chapter 3, has been talking about God's judgment on the people. For they have given their hearts in worship to idols, to other things than the one true God worthy of their worship. There are fierce words of warning, but then we come to the second half of chapter 3. There's a call there this morning to sing, to rejoice, to be glad. The aroma of what is coming is there. God is coming, and he's going to deal with the sin that separates the people from him. The day isn't here yet, says Zephaniah. But it's coming. God is cooking up something wonderful. Just as certain as the smells from the kitchen in the Christmas season alert us of good things to come, so too God's promises and the signs indicating that he is near alert us that good things are coming. The great and glorious day of his return is at hand. And then there's this curious sentence in Luke 3:18, at the end of the gospel reading this morning. Did it strike you as it struck me as odd? John the Baptist is on the scene, calling the people to prepare for the coming of the Lord, and he's warning people to make ready their hearts for the coming of the King of Kings, and his words are fierce. He calls them a brood of vipers. He tells them they have no security in their religious heritage and traditions. They call themselves children of Abraham, but John says God could turn stones into children of Abraham if he wanted to. John says what really counts is not how religious your family is, but rather whether or not you're living a life of integrity, living out in life what you say you believe. He says if you just go through the motions of pious religion without actually living it, well, you're like a dead tree that will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Make ready, says John. Amend your lives. Have a change of outlook. Turn from wrongdoing and practice what you preach. Let your life match the words that you speak when you are gathered with others in worship. So radical is the change of life required that it's like the initiation rite practiced for those converting to a new religion, baptism. John says he baptizes with water. Water, a symbol of cleansing, to cleanse the people of their sins. Water is also a symbol of death and life, new life. In baptism, it is as if one is putting the old way of living for self to death and being born into a new life, lived all out for God. Such are the fierce words of warning from John the Baptist. And then Luke concludes that description with this curious sentence. He says that with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Wait, John the Baptist's message is a message of good news? Snakes? Cutting dead trees and throwing them into the fire? Where's the good news in that? Did we miss something? Luke quite matter-of-factly says John was proclaiming the good news to the people. How is that good news? As I prayed about that this week, as I continued to smell those delicious cookies baking, it struck me in a way that it hadn't before, that in the words of John the Baptist, there is hope and expectation. Yes, his words of warning are strong and fierce, but they are so strong and so urgent because the Lord is nearly there. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, the nearer presence of God that Zephaniah is prophesying about, is close. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus has come very near. John's message is like the stress of getting ready for guests to come to your home over the holidays. Yes, there's scurrying about, a flurry of activity. Things need to be decluttered, cleaned, cookies need to be baked, groceries need to be purchased, presents must be bought, preparations need to be made, but it's all done with the joyous expectation that family and friends are coming for a special visit. The children will be back from college. Extended family will gather again. Friends we haven't seen in too long will celebrate with us. Behind the stress of the preparations, there's a note of joyful anticipation. There is an exciting reason for the urgency of the preparations. And so too in Advent, the church calls us to urgent preparations as well. In the readings throughout Advent, the church reminds us of the ominous predictions of the end times that come from the lips of Jesus. The church warns us of the repeated prophecies of judgment, to reverently fear the Lord our judge, who will come soon. The time to clean up our lives is running short, and the church focuses us in this season on John the Baptist and his urgent call to radically reorient our lives around God, to put God at the center before it's too late and he shows up and we aren't ready. But behind the backdrop of these calls to penitence and sober preparations lies joyful expectation. Just like the smell of freshly baking cookies that signal tasty treats are just ahead, so the signs of the coming of the kingdom of God are present in our world today. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, God is at work in and through his people. Those faint glimmers of love and joy that we experience, those nostalgic reminders of the joy of Christmas, those mustard seed-sized signs of hope are harbingers of greater things to come. The kingdom is coming in the person of Jesus Christ. He will come again. His birth will once again be celebrated in Bethlehem. He's almost here. He is so near, coming to set this world right, to restore the fortunes of his people, to restore justice, and peace, and love. He is coming. The signs are unmistakable as the smell of cookies in the oven, and we have the hope and the potential of a foretaste of that coming kingdom now, like licking the spoon or sampling those cookies before they're done by sneaking a soft, warm, crumbling cookie off the baking sheet like I did. As wonderful as that is, it's just a foretaste. Don't forget, the best we experience now of hope and love, of the nearer presence of God, is just a foretaste of better things yet to come. I don't know what challenges you face this morning in your life right now. Health challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges, other frustrations, whatever you face, no matter how challenging, these things are but temporary. They're external things around us. They are important, and God cares deeply about them, and He will eventually make them right. But even now, amidst the challenges, the call for us on this third Sunday of Advent is a call to joyful expectation, to not let the external things of this world pull us down to despair. Rather, listen for the song of heaven that's quietly playing all around. Listen for the music of the Spirit within you. And yes, life is challenging, but you aren't facing those challenges alone. He is with you. The signs of better things yet to come are even within you. God is within you now, growing, filling you with His Holy Spirit. You have the Lord with you, bringing you love, joy, and peace within. And you have the joyous expectation of His coming that can sustain you. He's working real transformation within you and within all who seek to follow Him with their lives. Like fresh baked cookies, the aroma of Christ is all around. It's in the people of God. It's within you. The scent is unmistakable, and it's certain that when you detect it within yourself and within others, Jesus is very near. No matter what you're facing right now, remember the words of Zephaniah, "Do not fear, for the Lord your God is in your midst, the Lord of lords who saves. He Himself will exult over you with songs of joy." Dear people of God, behold, your King comes to you. So, the next time you smell cookies baking, let them remind you of His presence. And remember to take heart and then sing, exult, and shout for joy. For Jesus is very near. To Him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,